such a loud speaker. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll be up here tonight. That's fine. Well, I appreciate Bill trying out the song. It's the Light the Fire is a popular song among the youth. You might be wondering, you know, why did I request that song for talking about living stones? Well, there's a very simple explanation for it all. Before I came back home to Fort Worth, I spent a couple of years in Wichita, Kansas. And the church up there, the Northside Congregation, where I worked and worshiped at, we'd go to a place called Family Camp. This is a congregation of about 500 to 600 people. And to get 300 to 400 people to go about an hour and a half away from Wichita to get away for a weekend to study, to be together with families, really is quite amazing. And this is one of the songs that just kind of stuck in my mind. Kim and I, we had the opportunity to go back to Wichita when Northside was celebrating its 75th anniversary last September. So this is a picture from a campfire, a fire pit that we had on Saturday night. And this is one of the songs that we sang, Light the Fire. And it evoked a lot of memories from the time that I spent in Wichita. Family camp being one of them. I was part of a group that would go to very small farming communities around Wichita that could not support a preacher. And so when they were looking for a preacher, we would fill in until they found one. One place that we were involved with, they went an entire year before they found a preacher. And then, you know, I was head of the singles group there in Wichita. And to be able to experience the joys of seeing a group flourish, to seeing the challenges that we all faced as singles and still trying to become fruitful members of a congregation, to be active and be participating, it brought back a lot of memories. Well, the theme for this weekend's events last September in Wichita was, what do these stones mean? That time I was kind of going, huh, I've not really heard that before. You know, they gave Joshua 4, 1 through 7. And so I started doing my own studying. And this is the results of that study. So I hope that you get a little bit out of this as much as I did as well. So let's get into Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. There are three things that really stuck out in my mind as I was going through these few chapters here. One thing that really caught my attention was the need to actually do something or to remember to build something, to think back and reflect about something miraculous that had happened. The crossing of the Jordan River was a significant step in the pilgrimage of the Israelites. Biblical scholars have estimated that the average width of the river was about 100 feet. Okay, do the math. That's about a third of a football field. If you were here earlier, right before service, you saw me pacing the steps here, and I was counting off. I was like, okay, how far is that? It's basically from the podium here to the back of the foyer. So it's a pretty good size river. But if you look back in chapter 3 and verse 15, the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Aha. So we can tack on a few more feet here. Now we're probably talking at least a half a football field. The biblical scholars also estimate that the average depth of the Jordan is about 10 feet. So, 4 more feet up here, at least. But we're in harvest time. The waters are overflowing, so it could be higher. We don't know. Verse 16, we read that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, rose in a heap, very far away from the city of Adam. And then we read that the waters were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So we read in chapter 4. So we get into chapter 4. One would think that this would be a story that would be remembered for generations to come. Here is God intervening and literally stopping the water and backing it up so that the people could walk on dry ground. Yet we need, or they needed, a memorial to remember something this significant. Today, in our lifetime, we've known, we've encountered, and we've seen significant events. Some of you have gone through the horrors of war and have seen things that are unimaginable. We all know about 9/11 and the challenges that were faced afterwards. When I was putting together the 9/11 10th anniversary special at the station, we were just like many other TV stations across the country, caught up in a debate. Maybe part of it was ethical, part of it was how sensitive are we to the viewers. 9/11, you cannot get away from the fact that airplanes hit buildings. Yet we do not see that image much, if not any more these days. The decision was made at our station, no, we're not going to show that. MSNBC still airs exactly what happened, the 4 hours of coverage they had that morning, shows everything that happened. A lot of the other stations, as we flip around, and we flip around every year, what do we see? It's slowly becoming a fading memory. Or just a memory. So the need for a memorial. Second thing that struck me as I was studying through this is the stones that were used. These were stones that were significant in size. We're not talking about little bitty stones. We're not talking about, stones that, good for flinging across the water and see how many skips you can make there. Or something that you can put in your pocket and forget about. What was this for? I don't remember. These stones were significant in size. You had to hoist it onto the shoulder of a person, one of the 12 who were selected to carry. Chapter 4, verse 5 of Joshua. Each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, say, what do these stones mean to you? It's interesting that this is meant to be a conversation starter. And that's the third point that struck me. Talk about God. Talk about what he did at that time for the Israelites. What about today? Are we quiet about God? And when we talk about God to our friends and to our family, is God a part of our daily conversation? Or is it just simply, oh, okay, yeah, I got God, got Jesus, I'm good. Or do we go out there and we boldly proclaim and we go, this is what God has done in my life. I am not afraid to talk about God. Or do we just, yeah, God. Mm-hmm. Or do we actually go out there and say something and do something? It's a conversation starter. And let's be part of that conversation. In the college class, we've been wrapping up. In fact, actually, this morning we wrapped up a study of 1 Peter. So if you still have your Bibles open, flip over, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter here is addressing a group of Christians who have encountered, and they're trying to overcome the persecution from the world. In 1 Peter 2, in verses 1 and 2, Peter is telling them, basically, grow up. Realize that there is a need for a spiritual maturity among these people here. Because we see in verse 1, put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and slander. If you have realized that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. Verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter's using a metaphor here in 5 to compare Christians to living stones, because we are expected to be a holy people. That is an expectation. To grow up and to offer spiritual sacrifices. Here's our question. Are our actions, whether you're a newborn babe in Christ or a quote-unquote veteran Christian, are our actions, are your actions childish? Or are they spiritually maturing? Are our actions such of malice and deceit and hypocrisy, of envy, of slander? Or do people see in us someone who gets it, who gets, I need to be studying. I need to be living the life that God expects me to live and not be of the world? Are we a people who prepare our minds for action for Christ's sake with a hope that is set fully and completely on the grace of Jesus? 1 Peter 1:14 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct." Spiritually maturing. Verse 22, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the trust, to the truth, for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." Spiritually maturing, not a childish Christian. Are we a living stone that conducts our life in a way that God expects us to live? Do we study? John has challenged us this year to study our Bible, memorize our verses. If you got the program this morning, there's a handout in there. And in it, there's a benchmark. Hey, we've been doing this 1 month. Hard to believe that January's almost over. But the benchmark has been set. Have we memorized the verses? Are we good with remembering the books of the Old Testament and the New Testament? Or have we fallen behind? We've been challenged this year to study more, to get into our Bible, and really dig into it. That's one of the reasons why this past week in the online beacon that came out, of, I believe, on Friday of this week, that there was a pre-study handout for this lesson tonight. Now, if you don't get the online beacon, don't worry. You're not exempt from the pre-study because it's on the back of your handout. So you have homework. Just like I asked, you know, those who had the online beacon, to do some homework, to do some background about Joshua before tonight, to get us even further into our study. There are great lessons in there about encouragement, to be strong and of good courage. God tells Joshua 3 times in Joshua 1:6, 1:7, and 1:9, as he's put in charge of the people, to be strong and be of good courage, to be strong and be courageous. And when Joshua gives the officers their marching orders to cross the Jordan, their response is, "We'll do all that you command us to do, only be strong and of good courage." Joshua's getting it he's getting it in both ears. He's getting it from God. He's getting it from, you know, his officers. What lessons there are in there for us as we face the challenges of the world, as we are to be living stones in this world. Be strong. Be courageous. Because we are facing unprecedented times where our faith is being challenged right in this nation. Something that a lot of us probably didn't think would happen in our lifetime. We're facing that challenge now. So the lessons that we get from studying, the assurances that we get here, be strong and be courageous. Be of good courage. Are we a living stone that encourages others? Because when the world does push back against us, and it pushes back against Christianity and God's word, do we rally around each other? We're here tonight. My hope and prayer is tonight that we are rallying around each other and building each other up, because we all need it. We need as much help as we can get from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to live the life that God expects us to live. Do we share our struggles? Do we share the good times that we have? Do we share our challenges with our Christian brothers and sisters? This is something that we've talked about in the college class for quite a while now. As they go out and do activities to build each other up. Because in high school and college, they need that support from each other. They need that support from the teachers. They need that support from you. Just as much as families or singles or the widows or the widowers, we need that encouragement from each other to strengthen each other up as we face all the challenges that are out there. Are we a living stone that prays? Ed has been challenging us in this new year to examine our prayer life. And he will resume that study next week. That's a tease, everybody, in the news business. We call that a tease. So come back next week for the next chapter. Are we known as a people who pray? A people who turn to God when life stinks, we're challenged. But are we a people also who turn to God to say thank you when times are good? There are great things going on in our life. Do we take our prayers beyond worship? Do we take our prayers beyond the dinner time meal? Or beyond the last thing we do at night? When we're faced with challenges at work, struggles at school, when we encounter friends who may criticize something that we believe in regarding the Bible, do we pray? Do we recognize that the importance that prayer does play in our lives? Are we a living stone that puts our faith in the chief cornerstone? Just as God reminded Joshua in Joshua 1:5, I will be with you, and I will not leave nor forsake you. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Down Joshua 1:9, we see that. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Is an active verb. God is with Joshua. We see the same promise today in 1 Peter 2:6. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes, active, believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. Down a couple of verses in 9. Faithful Christians are a royal priesthood and a holy nation that you may proclaim. Once again, note, it's an active living example, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Don't give the world an opportunity to question your faith or point you out as someone other than a Christian. Be strong. Be courageous. Proclaim God to the people who matter most in your lives and to the people that we encounter every day. Proclaim God as the one who has led you out of darkness of the world and into something much, much, much better. And then live it every day and in every opportunity that we are presented. So I'll leave you tonight with a question. What will you be your legacy on this earth? We go back to Joshua 4 to wrap up our study tonight. After Joshua had called the 12 men to take up a stone on their shoulders, those men camped in Gilgal. Joshua set up the stones in verse 20, and then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people on the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" That's the legacy here. God is the one who did this in the first chapters of Joshua, stopping the water so that people could pass. And saying this, the stones as a memorial for generations to come. When the children of the children ask, "What do these stones mean?" they're ready to say, "It was God. He did it. He is the one that helped us get across the Jordan." So who do we trust? Who do we put our faith and hope in every day of our lives? Is it someone or something other than God? And I hope that you will reconsider that decision tonight. If you are here this morning, I'm going to see if this video will play or not. It may not, but this is, if you're not here this morning, this is a young man, Brandon Hobbs. He made the decision this morning to put on Christ, to start leading the life, and he was baptized this morning. My question is, if you're not a Christian tonight, don't you want that type of peace and assurance in your life? As a Christian, are you a living stone? Or are you now spiritually dead? Then I hope that you will consider that decision. Turn around. Make things right tonight. Whether it's with someone that you have wronged or maybe caused to stumble, reach out to that person. Or if you need the prayers of the church tonight, we want you to be spiritually alive. We want you to be that living stone. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that walk tonight, please come as we stand, as we sing.